Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gigantic. Hey, it's September 19th, 2024 to be exact. Welcome to Gigantic Pop. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Raj Giri and Matt Morgan. Holy shit, the three of us are together again. What, like, buy a lottery ticket. This is crazy. The stars are aligning. Here we are. Matt, last week, it was you and I. You and I, like, a little while ago, too. It was good. We're all here. What's going on? What's happening? Matt, how are you doing? How's things in Longwood?
Good. I just celebrated my 48th birthday last week.
Uh-huh. Happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Welcome to the club.
Thank you. But other than that, things are great.
Matt, you've now spent half your life prior to the year 2000 and post the year 2000.
Huh. That's a weird thing.
Isn't it? Blew my mind when it happened to me. But no, things are good, guys.
We're the same age for another month.
Yes. it's crazy. Raj, what's coming across your phone? What are people blowing you up with? What are the scoops, Raj? You're the wrestling insider. What's happening?
Man, it's been nuts. It's been like not just wrestling, just life in general. It's been insane. My wife started doing like took yet another yoga job. She also does physical therapy. My oldest daughter is starting to drive, so that's been freaking insane. So there's been a lot of stuff going on, but it's been good. All good. Can't complain.
Exciting. I saw the latest issue of Practical Money. Raj not giving investment advice, but talking about what he's doing now that the Fed is cutting interest rates.
Yes, I do not give investment advice, but with the Fed's cutting rates, check it out, practicalmoney.co. I'm not changing anything drastic, but I am changing a couple things around.
Yeah, it's like, you know, some people follow Warren Buffett's investment strategies. I just copy Raj Giri.
I mean, they're pretty similar, at least what he says.
Yeah. Yes. No, it's good to see you guys. Man, I feel like, is this AEW TV deal? Is this happening? I feel like the dirt sheets have been milking this for the last year.
I think we've talked about this on this podcast. I think all of us expected it to happen with WBD. Sure. I think I've always felt like the best thing would be for AEW to get multiple suitors. That way, you know, WBD, you know, feels like they have to pay even more. You know, obviously having more people bidding for your product is a good thing. But regardless, it is looking like they are getting really close. Hate using the term imminent because we've been hearing reports of an imminent TV deal really since last year. But I think if you're a betting person, Dynamite will be on Wednesday nights on TBS in January. By all accounts, it looks like Rampage is going to go. Collision will stay. And there's going to be a new show and apparently they're talking with Fox. You just look at the schedule. There's no way I see it on Fox proper, at least not in primetime. But, you know, a show on FS1, I think it's a great idea for AEW to have multiple partners, because with all the strife that WBD has going on, you know, it's good to spread the love, as they say.
You know, I tried pitching a lot of women I've dated on that same theory. None of them went for it.
No, it doesn't work.
No. But this is good. But no, I'm starting to feel this is like how I get roped in with these DB Cooper documentaries. Like, oh, it's close. We figured out who it was. And then at the end, it's like, ah, but time will tell. So maybe this will finally happen with AEW. But it's exciting for them.
Yeah,
it would be concern.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. The biggest concern I know people are talking about, on one hand, they have a very, very big roster. We always say that there's not enough TV time for all those talents, right? There's a lot of talents left behind. Like, where the hell's Wardlow? Like, you know, tons of people. Well, Matt, let's have another show. It'll cure it all. Wrong. My fear is they do not have enough staff to be able to cover creative for yet another show.
I mean, with ChatGPT now,
he needs more writers. He needs so much more.
I think a problem right now is that every time they add a new show, first off, the other shows go even further down the barrel. Yes. And within a year, I mean, look, Collision is basically Rampage now, as far as importance. Once CM Punk left, that show kind of lost its identity. It almost felt, it wasn't two brands, but it felt too brandish because that was the CM Punk brand. And then you had the Elite brand. Once he left, now it's just kind of, they put the B stuff on Collision, mm-hmm. the C stuff Collision. On Rampage, and people aren't watching. Collision. And people aren't watching either. Both have just, I mean, Collision just last week did their lowest ratings ever. Rampage, you know, the same. They're both near show lows. And Dynamite, you know, they're down a lot from earlier this year, but they've been consistent the last couple months. So it just, every time they add new shows, all it does, the more hours you add, the less each hour means.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. So a couple super chats here. John Cena's bald spot, good to see you once again. The super chat saying, sup guys, love when the trio's all together. I know, it's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yeah, just think the time we spend apart makes it all the more special when we're together. CJ Hennessy 999 saying, hey guys, just want to say happy belated birthday to Matt. Been a fan since the Team Lesnar days, and 10-year-old me was pumped to find out we had the same birthday.
Well, happy birthday to you, CJ. And thank you for that comment. Appreciate that.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Hope CJ is doing well. Man, I'm just, I want AEW to succeed. I feel like the more that we talk about this stuff, the more drama there is behind the scenes. It's a distraction from the product. And I feel like WWE knows that. That's why they're so desperate to try and change the narrative this year. Because you want people talking about ultimately what they're watching and their excitement for the shows, not, oh, what's going on with if the TV deal is the hottest story, like, man, you don't have the hottest product.
A couple things on the AEW TV deal.
Yeah.
Right now, it's rumored to be around $170 million per year. Because the report from Puck said that the $170 million per year number floating around wrestling message boards is apparently in the ballpark. So he's not saying it is $170 million, but it's somewhere in that area. To be 3 years with an option for a fourth. And, you know, according to all reports, it would make them profitable by next year. And
okay.
And a big talking point has been it'll make them the second most profitable pro wrestling company of all time, which is obviously very impressive. Now, I do want to say one thing. This is not an AEW thing. This is not a WWE thing. But it does seem like it's kind of a shot at WCW, like we're going to be more profitable than WCW, which is true.
It is. It's a shot to Eric. It might be. It's a shot on Eric.
It could be. Yeah. And just in general, that and it is a true statement. It's very impressive. But it's because of the TV deals. And same thing with WWE, because all this money they're making is because of the TV deals. They didn't have that back in the 90s. They didn't have these gigantic TV deals. They had to go by pay-per-view buys and live events. So it's just different.
which is crazy because they're paying for shitty ratings. This is what I don't understand. Raw and them were doing like sixes. They're doing like monster numbers. It just feels so ass backwards. It just does. Like you're paying this much for something that's, I'm sorry, it's not doing good numbers.
Well, okay.
It's doing good numbers for now, for what TV is doing now. But yes, AEW is very different. No, WWE.
AEW,
look, there is nothing on cable. You know, like you'll hear like the Meltzers say, oh, the number two entertainment show. It's like no one gets cable for entertainment shows anymore. It's sports and news. And that's do you talk to gets cable for a show that's not sports or news? It's just wrestling. And I'm putting wrestling in the sports category. And so, I mean, Yellowstone is like the only show on cable that people really watch. So,
because old people like it.
Maybe that's why I like it. But
but it's rare that you hear about the hot new show on TV is usually something that's streaming. And the stuff that is hot on TV, like Yellowstone or like this CBS was touting that Ghosts show. Like, I don't watch that. I don't hear anyone that we know talk about it, but like, I'm sure my mom loves that shit, you know? Although old people are starting to figure out how to use Netflix. So
linear
TV's in trouble.
But broadcast is still okay. You know, like some of those shows still do fine. It's the cable shows that aren't doing well, right?
Yeah.
And that's where younger people, none of my kids watch anything on cable. It's just a sign of the times.
So 170 million, that's for everything on... That's Dynamite, Rampage, Collision.
Then True TV is being rebranded as a sports network in primetime. And so maybe they'll do simulcasts, but they said it's going to be two shows per network. Now, that could be replays, that could be simulcasts. It hasn't been determined. But as we've seen, every time AEW adds a new show, it's not a hit. They haven't had a second show that after a few months that's anywhere near Dynamite. So, you know, the new programming is not what AEW needs, but that is what makes money.
So if you do the ratings math and the audience math, like a WWE show, like Raw or SmackDown is worth roughly like $1 billion a year because it's 5X the audience. It doesn't exactly work out, but
no, it's like, 600 million. I'd say it's closer to that.
Okay, so before
Netflix is 5 billion.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out the ratio of it. I mean, so I think the challenge is that let me just ask the question to both of you. Has AEW peaked and hit a ceiling? Are its largest, and this is not a shot at them, I'm just saying, can we be realistic and say, is this going to remain a niche product for 700,000 hardcore wrestling fans?
Yes.
Glenn, as far as popularity, they peaked years ago when Punk was there.
Okay.
You know, when they did Punk, when they had Omega, that's where they really peaked. Now, as far as money, you know, you're seeing they're running out of stuff. NFL is tied up into long-term deals. The WBD didn't get the NBA. They need something. So I think it's a great move on their part.
No,
but as far as popularity, yeah. And it's shown that AEW, they're losing audience, but they have enough that it's still doing good numbers for cable TV today.
What happens if it keeps going down on the trend that it's been going?
Well, Dynamite will be fine. Rampage is already getting the boot. And Collision, their numbers aren't far off from Rampage. But what I mean, if they don't have anything else to put on there.
I do mean Dynamite.
Dynamite, even if they drop.
Let's say they go to 500. Let's say they dropped
even that with cable today is not because it's that 18 to 49 rating. And so this past Wednesday night here, I got the numbers here. They did 687,000 viewers. So now they're consistently below 700 each week. And then they did a 0.22 NXT, the developmental brand did a 0.21 and 677,000. So they're neck and neck with NXT now. And with that, they were number two on cable still with what doesn't look like a good rating or a great rating, at least.
So does that mean they're not? So NXT was three then?
No, I mean for the night on Wednesday night.
Different nights, sorry.
Yeah, they got beat by Gutfield on Fox News, and that was it. But again, if you look at what's actually on Wednesday nights, it's nothing. Fox News does monster. They do big viewership numbers, but they don't do big younger viewers. 18 to
40. No, of course not.
18 to 34 on Fox.
or 49.
It's me and all my fellow 80-year-olds.
How many times when you're watching it, Matt, do you audibly say out loud, exactly?
I don't. His show is comedy, a little at least, so I'll watch that.
Yeah.
One more note on the Dynamite rating. It was down 23% in total viewers year over year and 29% down. So to your point, Matt, they're down a lot from last year, like just from where they were a year ago. Almost 30%.
I don't know why you got not just you guys, but the fans too. You love talking about these television deals.
Because because hear me out on this, Matt. Fans,
you guys, it's like all wrestling fans too.
Yeah, fans feel like they have emotional stock, like they're emotional stakeholders.
Investment, sure.
Yeah, so I mean, it's the same way Raj wakes up every day and looks at his portfolio. Fans look at these Dynamite ratings to say, like, am I making wise choices with my time? Are we up? Are we down? And it's weird too, because it's not like sports. Because in actual sports, you can root for the team. This is a weird parasocial relationship.
It's a big word you just used, parasocial. I will say this, I've said this 1,000 times, you guys. I've never watched wrestling because somebody's like, the rating was fill in the blank. Okay, I'm going to watch that. No, I watch my wrestling because I want to see what I like. And hopefully it's on.
But do you hear a movie like is just doing gigantic box office? You're like, huh, now I'm kind of curious to see that movie. Or like a show like Yellowstone where they're like 10 million people are watching and you're like, oh, maybe I should check out what it's all about.
No, I'll do it if it's like a close family friend, somebody I have similar tastes, similar tastes, and they make a huge deal about it, won't shut up about it at dinner, let's say, then I'm more susceptible to wanting to go see that movie.
I think, like, when The Fall Guy came out, I really was perplexed and just wanted to yell at America of why didn't you go support this movie in theaters? This is exactly the type of movie we should be getting more of.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? See, but did it take away from it that it didn't do what you thought it would do?
Well, I'm bummed there's not going to – I'm bummed there's probably not going to be a sequel. It's not going to be a franchise. Okay. You know, but who knows? Maybe – I mean, look, there's been a lot of movies that didn't do great at the box office and then streaming and cable were hits.
They become cult classics, some of them too.
Yeah, and they get sequels, you know, so we'll see. I mean, look at, like, this monster opening for Beetlejuice 2. That happened, and Beetlejuice was a popular movie when we were kids.
It was,
but it like never went away.
No,
you know. So I don't know. I think there is something about modern fandom where you feel like a stakeholder. I don't, Matt. Have you had this? Do you know people that like work for? You have to know people that work for like Disney, like at the theme park or.
Yeah.
Some division.
Marks, yeah.
But do they ever do that thing when they start talking about the company and they start saying like we've got. And I'm just like, I don't think Bob Iger's consulting you on the rollout for this. You know, it's like I've known a lot of people very low level and it's we. And it was just kind of like, come on,
let's team, go. Glenn, they're part of the I team. Know. I'll be honest, if I was low level, I would say we too. I'd feel like proud that of whoever I work for. You know what I mean?
Sure. Sure. But I think fandom is like one step removed from that. If you're
I was gonna say with like DC and Marvel, it's the same thing, right? Like they're like, our movie beat yours and blah blah blah. So
do they really
when you have two big companies competing, you get that.
I did not know that. I did not know that fans of each genre go back and forth with each other because I like both.
Matt, I think people rag on the participation trophy thing. It's like, oh, we become soft as a society. Let me posit a separate theory. Like there's been a backlash to that. So kids don't grow up playing sports anymore and we don't instill competitive spirit around skill. And I don't care if you're a mathlete or an athlete or you're playing competitive Magic the Gathering, please, everybody, get a competitive hobby so you're more concerned about your bragging rights for things you've accomplished instead of bragging rights for these parasocial relationships of things you feel connected to simply because you're a fan.
Love the word again, parasocial. Yes.
Start arm wrestling. Start a fight club. Start doing something that involves personal skill investment.
You know, my niece, she was in, they didn't start getting grades until the eighth grade. Like that's how uncompetitive their school is. Like, no grades. It was just satisfactory, unsatisfactory.
How could you?
Kind of wild.
I would be very curious to see what their level, their percentage levels were for reading. Their mathematics, all of that. I'd really like to see it and what their state testing was. That's crazy.
It might be seventh grade, but yeah. It's Highlands Ranch, which is a very well-to-do district in Colorado. So it's not like, you know, it's a funding thing or anything like that. But it's it's kind of wild.
Yeah.
So Matt, during the Monday Night Wars, you didn't have a side with WWF or WCW.
Yes. Okay. Yes. You're correct, but it had nothing to do with the rate. Oh, I see what you're saying. but even when they were I liked Nitro better during the peak. Same. During the peak, it was my TV in my college dorm with all my teammates was on Nitro, and then we'd go to Raw and commercial break. If Rock or Stone Cold came out, then we were watching WWF for that few, you know, minutes. But like the next day, I didn't go run to the computer lab to see like what the rating was. You know what I was doing? I was running to the computer lab to see who the rumored next NWO joinee was going to be.
But you didn't also, you click on that article, but then also click on what the Nitro versus Raw rating was.
I'll be honest. I didn't catch up to like the what ratings were as a fan until, man, I was graduating. Yeah. I probably graduated college by then. I think it was like my first year out of college.
Raj, you have hard data on this. You have a backup somewhere. Mm-hmm. You should publish an article talking about how ratings news stories correlate to the traffic on, you know, like what categories are the ones, I mean, that literally bait the clicks, as it were. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's funny, like it's Dynamite and NXT when they were head to head, those ratings posts would do monster numbers.
Hey guys, we got a super chat here.
Yeah. Bear Hudson, $5 saying, what is going on with Ricky Starks and AEW and how will SmackDown change once they go to 3 hours? Thank you guys so much for doing this while my dad recovers. Bear, we hope your father.
Yes.
Hope his recovery is going well. First and foremost.
We do. And to answer your question, I do think Ricky will end up in WWE. I honestly do. And I heard rumors the opposite. I heard rumors that Raw going to Netflix might comb down to 2 hours. No truth to that? I know
There was a rumor today that was going out that they were going to make SmackDown 3 hours, but it looks unfounded. The people were saying WrestleVotes has it, but if you go to WrestleVotes, and I'll double check right now.
More importantly, the Netflix I'm more concerned with. What about Raw going to 2?
So it seems like they, you know, it's Netflix, so there's no show after it. It doesn't matter when they go off. No
commercials.
But there's nothing official. They haven't announced anything. I personally hope they keep it around 2, but don't have it exactly 2. Because one thing I don't like about, you know, Raw, SmackDown, exactly. So you don't go for any of the false finishes. You're like, oh, they got another 5 minutes.
That would be mind blowing.
Yeah, night one.
We would be able to end you guys whenever they choose. That would be insane.
No one's getting their
main event.
No one's getting their segments cut. You could do that. No one's getting their segments cut. You don't have to worry about, you know, going over on a promo. I mean, I'm sure they still want you to hit your cues, but if The Rock's there and goes over, they're not going to cut someone else's time. So it'll be awesome.
One more dumb question. Is Raw live going to be like live on Netflix? How does that work?
It'll be live.
What does Netflix currently have that's live?
So they've done some comedy specials. They're doing that Logan Paul, Mike Tyson fight. They did Chris Rock?
John Mulaney had that Everybody's in LA show. They're talking about doing Hot Ones live.
They did that that roast of Tom Brady. That was live.
You're right. So this is a great idea, Raj. You need to get connected to WWE somehow and tell them this great idea.
I think they bought it. I think that's from them.
Oh, I hope they do it. I really do. It will change. Yeah. That will change the potentially the concept of how wrestling, you know, AEW eventually is going to go this route one day too. I think all wrestling will. So if that's the case, I mean, what a trend set.
Right.
It completely changes. And you changes. Know, I like, think about it. You can't predict anything. Like, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So it'll be awesome. I mean, that's going to be the new A show. Like, SmackDown's the A show right now. So that's going to be the new one. Also, real quick, Glenn, but I just wanted to bring up that WWE also announced, speaking of the ratings, highest rated show of all time, Saturday Night's Main Event, coming back. They brought it back, you know, in 2006, but it was really another episode of Raw. Hopefully, Triple H is in charge, so they brought back the original theme, Obsession. It's taking place from Long Island, New York, the site, the Nassau Veterans Coliseum, the site of the very first Saturday Night's Main Event. And Glenn, I'm not sure if you ever watched it back in the day. I know Matt did, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'd be like, why is it? Well, originally I was hyped for it, and then in the late 80s, it was like, oh, SNL's not on this week. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll watch this.
What? See, I was the opposite. I would cry when my dad would mess up the timer on the VCR. Oh, yeah. And it was the wrong week, and he taped SNL, Saturday Night Live, and telling me that he was supposed to be Saturday Night's Main Event, and it wasn't. Oh, yeah. It was the worst.
I'm just saying SNL and WWE were on opposite trajectories as the 80s went on, and SNL got really good, and WWE got less good.
SNL was good. Like
in the late 80s.
Yeah, in the late 80s, Saturday Night's Main Event was awesome. It was like 92 is when it fell. 91, 92 is when it fell off. When Warrior became champ.
Just how it was shot was so different. It looked so cool. Like we were getting, I always felt like we were getting a treat. We were getting something special that we shouldn't be able to see or pay for possibly. I always felt like we were getting away with something. So we're getting these main event matches. Just a big deal. Bundy, Big John Studd, Hulk Hogan, Paul Wonderful. Mr. Wonderful, all these guys I just freaking loved.
Really the only way on TV that you could see, you know, wherever you lived in the country, that you could see like world title matches, like Hulk Hogan defending the title. Like he would do a random superstars matches like once a year. But really, it was Saturday Night's Main Event where you saw him, where you saw Macho Man against Andre and matches like that.
So is this going to be in the late night slot or is it going to be primetime?
I believe it's a late night slot. So
I heard somebody say 8 o'clock. I could be wrong though.
I mean, if they do it right, it's probably going to beat anything that they'd have on on a Saturday night on NBC anyway. So
probably not SNL though. It's in its 50th season this year.
Hey, super chat time.
Okay. Yeah. Peter Bahi, $5. What do you guys think of how Ricochet's been booked so far in AEW? And what do you think the reason is to rush Ricochet versus Will Ospreay with zero build?
Zero discipline with how Tony books his shows. Zero discipline. Except. What was it? Mariah May angle. That was a great, great discipline and patience that he showed.
And Hangman burning down Swerve's house, I thought was pretty cool.
That was cool.
Yes, I did too. I thought that was really well done. Very well done. He looked smooth as hell in that chair, didn't he?
Yeah, so it was a bad. I mean, Hangman has been elevated this year. Like, I feel like he was way more elevated this year than when he won the world title.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah.
Well, real quick about Ricochet, doesn't it seem too soon? Like, you should give that more of a build. And
of course,
you could say, yeah, they could do a draw and then do it on pay-per-view. But that first time is special. And there's always exceptions. Like when Danielson came in and wrestled Omega right off the bat on TV, was in front of their biggest stadium show at that point. So it may, you know, there's going to be exceptions.
I think
it would be like FTR coming in and they did FTR versus Young Bucks, 3 weeks in or something like that.
This is my opinion. I don't know this for a fact, obviously, right? Speculation. I think that Tony's doing this because he already has plans for Will Ospreay. So when Ricochet came in, maybe he was expecting, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But now that he's here, he's jamming him into this angle versus him so they can get it over with and then have Will move on to what that storyline is that he's originally booked for. That's the only thing I can think of why you would rush this. But again, it shows a lack of discipline. Just because Ricochet comes in, I would not stop what I'm doing with Ospreay and what the angle was that I had previously planned for him and delay 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or a month because of this. Now, I wouldn't do that. I'd stay on track with what I booked and just wait. You always have that Ricochet Ospreay money match. Just let it simmer, let it cook, as the kids say.
Yeah, this is no disrespect to Ricochet. I'm being I'm exaggerating here, but it almost feels like the whole point of Ricochet coming in was to do Ricochet versus Ospreay, and just to do it right off the bat without letting that pot, stirring that pot and letting it steam.
I would have liked to have seen what you're talking about, Raj, because we really need. I would like to see a company, Ricochet himself, be able to do something that they could sink their teeth into storyline wise and start showing character. That's what WWE just started throwing them in the ring after a while, right? With not really long-term storylines. I was hoping AEW would take advantage of getting him and hopefully booking him in a longer-term storyline that makes us care about him. So then when he does all these crazy, crazy moves, we care even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got a question for the chat and you guys. Do you feel like Ricochet is in a higher spot now than he was when he left WWE?
So there's two ways you determine that. You determine it with the overall viewership that's watching each show. And just by doing the math, obviously, no. But if you're doing it off of where he's wrestling on the card, the crowd's excitement for him, the crowd goes pretty crazy for him at AEW. And if he has a bigger star feel there so far, slightly bigger than what he was at WWE.
Well, I think that he's more appreciated in AEW. WWE never completely buried him. They clearly thought he was something special, but there was always this disconnect.
They never got him across the finish line. That is your job as a writer. And it frustrates the hell out of me. They don't get certain talents to that finish line. They put all the work into it and they get to that last mile and they pull the plug after making us try, like his NXT. Think about him in NXT.
How
emotionally invested we all were in him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Matt, I mean, your journey similar, right? It's like you are very athletic. You're very physically gifted and WWE for whatever reason didn't utilize that to its full potential. TNA, smaller audience, but I think you thrive there.
Definitely. But definitely.
Yeah.
I agree with you guys. I do think he is slightly higher than where he was in WWE.
Meaning, want to clarify my answer one more time, if you're clicking through the channels and you stopped and you watched, I would, it feels like when he's in front of an AEW audience, they're more into it. Mm-hmm. So by, because of that, it feels, you know, if you take the brands out of it, don't worry about the ratings and things like that. And you just look at the television screen with no branding in it whatsoever. And you watch the two side by side, it would feel like he's a bigger star with AEW.
Yeah. And I feel like
in the real world, even though in the real world, he is not a bigger star in AEW versus what WWE, because they had more people watching.
Right. But it, like, if he were to wrestle Ospreay on a pay-per-view, it'd probably be one of the top four matches on that show. Whereas I don't think he was ever in a top four match on a WWE pay-per-view. Even when he wrestled Brock for the title, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
It's tough. But I think this is going to work out for him long term.
I hope they work with him on the mic too. I don't see them doing it. I've never heard of them working with talent on their microphone and promo skills. But all the money Tony has, he should be hiring people to come in and work with these talents that are amazing in the ring, but have a little shortcomings maybe on the mic, and work with them. That guy looks like a movie star. I've always said that. I'll say it again. He just does. He's got to give him that ability to connect with the crowd on the mic.
Yeah.
I agree. And to his credit, I don't know. Did you see the promo he cut on Wednesday night on Ospreay? The backstage segment he did. I thought he was pretty good. Much better there. Yeah.
For him, and we're judging it off of his other promos, to be fair. Yes.
Yeah.
So what else is happening? What else is going on?
Sheamus re-signed with WWE.
Yay! Wow.
Yeah. So he posted a social media post and he said he's going to be there many more years. And WWE is really trying to lock these guys in for longer term contracts. Kevin Owens, reportedly they're pretty close to keeping him. So
good.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because now they're preemptively starting to renew these contracts. Whereas, remember earlier this year, before they let that guy go, they had Becky Lynch and Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins, all these guys that they weren't getting re-signed. And now that's changing for sure.
Yeah, good on Sheamus and hopefully Kevin.
Yeah. I mean, it would be bigger news if Sheamus didn't resign.
Right. And the one thing is, and Matt, with us during the Monday Night Wars, is just the wrestler going to the other company automatically gives them a new fresh coat of paint. It you know, they feel like a different star when they go.
It does.
And Sheamus seemed like one of those guys that could almost use that because he's been there so long.
Yeah, I'm happy for him financially speaking, obviously. But at the same time, what would you do differently with him? He's so specific looking. You know what I mean? But I don't know. Because look what they've done with other big guys that they brought in from WWE. Look what they've done with Rusev. Rusev was doing really good. He was doing good in the beginning at AEW. He was over. The fans were loving him in the very beginning. And they just, again, they didn't get him to the finish line.
At the very beginning, he had dyed his hair and was playing video games.
Okay, so after that part, my apologies.
Yes,
when he started talking about God, remember?
Yeah.
Whenever that.
When they kind of turned him back into Rusev, he started doing good again.
Yeah.
Matt, how are you feeling about NXT and this build to the CW?
Loving it. I really am loving it. Oba Femi, they need to let him cook a little bit. I know he's very good. He's got so much upside. But with WWE's main roster having their main event roster spots like log jammed, that's how many great top talents they have right now, main eventers. I could see him getting lost in the shuffle or screwing with his character or something weird like that. I would let him cook in NXT. He's so talented. I love watching him, and he's going to be a very big star.
He's awesome.
Really,
there's a couple guys I'm really watching in NXT right now, and girls, Julia, Roxanne, and he's one, and Trick Williams. All of them just have star written on them.
And what's the guy's name with the crazy hops?
Oh, Javon Evans.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, he's great.
He's gonna set a record, man. He's gonna take an RKO from the highest heights when he wrestles Randy Orton on October 8th. Like, it's going to be sick.
Oh, man. That's...
So it's...
He can pull it off.
Is it October... Yeah. October 2nd? 8th.
The first is the debut. October 8th is the one with Randy Orton. October 1st is CM Punk.
So that's the one in Chicago. Okay.
Yeah.
In two weeks.
This past episode, NXT, I loved it. So good from top to bottom.
Yeah, they're really building. Like, really, really building. So it's exciting.
They've been doing good.
Yeah.
Julia screams megastar. She doesn't have to say anything. She doesn't have to even talk if you didn't want her to. She just has a look. I don't know how to explain it to you. She just has it.
Although, Matt, do you think now with them saying, enjoy your last 2 weeks as champ, Roxanne, I don't think Roxanne's losing anymore.
Let me ask you a question. Isn't Julia supposed to be like the type of talent that you book undefeated streak?
I know, but the fact they're saying it on air is what's making me think, like, we're all thinking it, but the fact that they're saying it now so much, I'm just kind of like, maybe she's not losing. I think Trick is beating Ethan Page. Trick's winning that title back for sure on the first, but I don't know that Roxanne is losing that title. They're like for the first episode, maybe, but it's just weird. It's just weird for them to call it out so much.
Well, and because you brought it up, Paige is doing a very good job. I thought as champion, very good job of being a jerky heel.
Yeah. Good. And Hammerstone got a win the other night.
Yes. Technically. Well, still though, I was hoping they'd book him a little bit better.
But. I agree. What were we going to say, Rush?
I was just going to say, with how well Shawn Michaels has done with NXT and his booking of NXT, as far as like really raising the brand's popularity, would you, between him, Paul Levesque, and Tony Khan, as far as Booker of the Year, and you had to like rank them 1, 2, 3, how would you rank them?
Hunter, Shawn.
So far this year.
Hunter, Shawn, TK.
I'm in the same boat.
NXT still my favorite show.
You put Shawn over Triple H, huh?
It's just more, dude. SmackDown's. I'm sorry. Since Cody's been champ, SmackDown's kind of sucked.
You take those words back right now.
It has been way more. Raw has been a lot better than SmackDown for the first time in forever since WrestleMania until Roman came back. But now I still think Raw is better, but I do think Roman has given it a boost.
If Roman is on every week, it's a completely different show. It just is. Mm-hmm. And we did have to take a little bit of detour on SmackDown, right? Like what Glenn's talking about, and I do agree with him. Not so much on Cody do I put it as much as I do on them completely revamping the bloodline with somebody that fans are not ready to be their leader.
And it's like Cody fighting them. Like, okay, I'm saying this now, and I love Solo Sikoa.
University.
Yeah, it's like this whole thing with Cody and the baby bloodline seems like it's made Cody like come down a level. Cody was going toe to toe with Roman and The Rock. And again, it's like going from Fonzie to Chachi. It's just not working as a main event.
They just need something hot for Cody. They need Randy Orton to punt him, you know, sooner than later, because he just hasn't had a hot feud since WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. They need something to judge this up a little bit.
Yeah. You guys know what's out on Wednesday, a week from yesterday.
The Mr. McMahon thing?
Oh, yeah.
The Vince McMahon documentary, 6 parts, Netflix. Are we going to cover that next week on here? What do you guys think?
Can
you watch all 6 by next week?
What day is it coming out?
Wednesday.
Yeah, I could.
It's just going to bum me out, man.
Well, only the last 2 episodes are on that.
But the whole, like, are you ever, and I'm making this comparison, and yes, innocent until proven guilty, I know. But are you ever like flipping around and you're like, oh, hey, the Cosby Show's on. Oh, that Theo, you lovable scamp. Oh, Rudy's so adorable. And then like Bill comes on and you're like, oh, in the context we know this now, this really Yeah, I got to change the channel.
Yeah. I mean, the Cosby Show is a great example. I think I would eventually get to a point where I would realize it's entertainment eventually. Like I have with wrestling, because think about it. I've been watching wrestling. I have not been thinking about what Vince McMahon has done. I thought I would always think about it every time I turned on Raw. Remember when it first happened and all this crap came out? I remember thinking, I can never unsee what I just saw.
Agreed about WWE. Yes, I'm with you. Vince, though, that's where I'm just like, you know. But WWE, and let me just say this, WWE has very successfully, as a company, navigated the optics and the PR on this transition to where the blowback to the brand has been minimal. But it's like, I have to think WWE is not thrilled about this documentary dropping because it's just going to resurface more of what they're trying to move past.
I'm sure they're not, but because they are a juggernaut, I'm telling you, a month from now, it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
I think that's why Netflix is doing it now, because by the time the deal starts, it's going to be forgotten. I mean, people have such low attention spans. But I get what you're saying, Glenn, because like, because on my workout playlist, like I had Diddy and Biggie, you know, one of the songs with Diddy and Biggie. Yeah. And then and then it would come on and I was like, oh God, like it, I would think about it. I'm like, okay, I got to take that off. Like it would like distract me. Like, oh, this Diddy. It depends. It depends on what it is. Like I could still watch Lethal Weapon. It doesn't get in the way, but I can still watch Naked Gun, even though what OJ did was terrible.
You know who's got a... No, I'm not even going to make...
Super Chat.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say something I shouldn't say. Peter Bahi, this is why AEW is so important to pro wrestling, because prior to their existence, it wasn't breaking news when a talent resigned. Now it is. That's a good point.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is. Absolutely.
It's a good point, Peter. Who's our friend? He's not the friend. He's not our friend of the show, you guys. He's our friend.
Yes. Important. How about that, Peter?
And former Wrestling Inc. employee.
There you go.
I never knew that.
Well, for tax purposes, he was a contractor, right?
How about that?
Yeah, former contractor for wrestling.
Careful, Rosh. Giggles. Some states take that pretty seriously. Yes. How about Mr. Mayor? T. Smitty, $5 super chat. Matt, if Triple H and HBK were in power when you got asked to do the Royal Rumble, would you have done it? They give talent time off and less house shows.
No. No. Is it a one-off? Okay, if it's a one-off, probably, yeah. I have no desire to wrestle. Hell no.
Okay. And White Pac.
Oh, I see what he's asking. He's asking, I'm sorry, I apologize, rewind. He was asking back in 2014, before my son was born, when I was planning on going back, if they were, yes, I still would have to make the decision I made in retiring, because I retired because my son was born. That was the original reason.
I
want to clarify.
And then YPOC73 wants to know, what about Motor City Machine Gun signing with WWE?
Very excited about that. Think they could do wonders on NXT, get some more tag teams there. Right, and help them. Good storytellers in the ring. I like it. I'm happy for them, especially Alex Shelley, Chris, but both of them actually. I'm happy for both because that has been a puzzle piece for years. I could not figure out why they're not there. Now, Alex did go there, but I never understood when to bring Saban in as well. But, you know, here we are.
Happy. And Hugh. And, wants to know, the doc will turn some people off. I need to see it. I mean, look, I think.
Yeah, it will.
Every huge revelation. Look, the wrestling journalism Twitter is going to spoil the entire thing for you within an hour of it dropping.
I got to say one thing real quick, because right now, like Mick Foley said something positive about Vince and you know, it he got a lot of backlash for it. And people got to remember, this Netflix doc has been in work for years. And so there's a lot of interviews on there that happened before all the Janelle Grant stuff. So you're going to see guys talking, saying good stuff about Vince, who probably otherwise wouldn't have done the documentary after the Denial Grant stuff. So their point of view is from before. And so I just hope they make that clear in the documentary that these interviews were conducted before and specifically state which ones are, you know, have been done after. Because, you know, the most of the interviews were done before. And
I mean, they should be flashing that on screen. I'm sure some people would, I mean, I don't know if you can retract your participation in a documentary, but I'm sure a couple of people were like, hey, could you maybe not read? No, I'm not going to make the joke, but I'm sure a lot of people.
What did Mick do? Sorry.
No, Mick just during a Q&A was asked about Vince and he had, you know, positive things to say about Vince, but, you know, because he had so much success in WWF and he knows Vince as that figure and not, you know, but, you know, I'm just saying, like, all these interviews or the vast majority of these interviews in this doc were done before all this stuff with Vince, the Janelle Grant scandal. So I could see a lot of people going on Twitter complaining about, oh, this guy was only positive about Vince. But chances are all that was, done before the Janelle Grant. So I hope they just make that clear in the documentary.
They better chill. They need to chill is what they need to do. Because that's not fair. That's so not fair to the talent that they did the interview before any of that came out.
Yeah.
Hugh also wants to know each of our favorite rivalries of the last 2 years.
Roman. Roman, Cody.
If you had to pick a second, I think Punk and Drew is up there. I agree with Roman Cody.
Oh, yes. Punk and Drew. Duh. Yes, definitely that.
Sami Zayn in the Bloodline.
Yeah. AEW had some good starts, but they didn't really, it wasn't there like a month later. Like Swerve and Hangman, we'll see. But Mariah May and Toni Storm, I thought, started off great. And,
there you go.
You know, again, I kind of fizzled out a little bit, but it's still really good.
They carried that storyline on for an entire year. So I give them,
The Ashen Chevalier. Wants to know, what do you think?
Sorry, go ahead, ask it. You didn't ask it.
What do you think of Moxley's new gimmick?
I don't. You had to tell me. Others had to tell me what it was. I didn't understand it. It was based off some show or movie I never heard of or saw, so I didn't get it.
Wait, what's it based off of?
I still don't get it. Didn't they say somebody that you told me this last time when we were on the show together, Glenn?
Did I? Wait, what's the new one based off?
It's off of that Russell Crowe's character in Romper Stomper. Have you heard of that movie?
I could have sworn you told me that last show, Glenn.
I didn't. No, it was not
That's actually, I shouldn't say that as fact. Yeah.
Okay.
The Romper Stomper, he was a skinhead in that movie. And that's, but I should say this was from Brian Alvarez of Wrestling Observer. He's the one that.
That's it.
He said it as fact, not like it seems like it's based on it. He said it is based on Russell Crowe's skinhead character from Romper Stomper.
Well, okay, in the grand scheme of things, I think better off picking something obscure that won't be called out compared to like Razor Ramon or I'm sorry, even Sting, where it's kind of like, what, you know, you chose a really popular movie.
Yeah, you know, Stone Cold, to pick up elements of a character from another character. Stone Cold even said elements of his character from this serial killer called the Iceman.
I remember the HBO documentary. Yes.
Yeah, and that's where he got it.
Go in the room, please. Stop bouncing the ball. Talking to Jackson, not you.
Oh, another super chat.
Oh, we got a couple. T Smitty wants to know TNA or says TNA NXT partnership got me watching TNA again. A lot of people. TNA is
me too.
Benefiting from. I mean, all sides are benefiting from this greatly.
Yeah,
their pay-per-views are way up, and their attendance is way up.
Yeah,
ratings are still low.
Lady B, $10, saying, I heard last night from a fan, TK doesn't need more viewers. 600-900K is great for cable. Is this fan mindset of not wanting audience growth unique to AEW, or has this happened before in wrestling?
Great question, Lady B.
I mean, yeah, when Raw was dropping every year, I think a lot of people, it was like WWE, they don't have to grow. You know, they could just keep doing what they're doing, lose audience every year. You know, that was the Vince McMahon mentality. Like, hey, we're making tons and tons of money. So, yeah, that's been there. It wasn't until Triple H and Nick Khan took over that they really started growing year over year and really focusing on the creative.
Do you think, and I'm not, I have no knowledge of this. This is me being a little facetious, but also maybe this is real. When you look at stuff like Women of Wrestling or what Corgan's doing with the NWA or some of these smaller promotions, do you think there is some creative bookkeeping for multiple entities where you can make a little bit of, you know, it doesn't lose more money than you need it to for tax purposes? Like, it's an asset, but it's not exactly profitable.
Yeah, I mean, most sports are loss leaders, so they actually lose money, but they hope to grow the prestige of the network, get higher carriage fees, and also push the other shows that they're, you know, that they have on.
Yeah, I mean, but like Women of Wrestling, like what's the financials there? How is that still working under a syndication model, no less?
Is that still going?
Yeah, at least it was like 3 months ago when I saw it on TV.
Yeah, it might have been rerun because I don't know. I don't know when the last new episode was. I don't know what's
or the happen. NWA. I mean, is the Smashing Pumpkins tour basically just funding that at this point?
Probably.
Yeah. It's interesting.
And those aren't that expensive to produce.
Okay. How's MLW spending that windfall of money?
I mean, they got Matt Riddle in their main event of the last show. And hey, man, they've been producing some great talent. Jacob Fatu was basically an MLW star before he came in. So they've done a great job cultivating some talent.
I agree. Emerson.
Yeah. Well, anything else, guys? Have we covered it all? Was
there for a pretty good minute.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
No, I want to say thanks to everybody for sending your questions in. And back with the three of us, finally.
On Thursdays.
Yeah. And guys, with just a quick plug for my newsletter, check out practicalmoney.co. And next week, I did this investment for the newsletter, just showing what investing in S&P 500 index funds could do. Could do it weekly. And I give the actual money, like how much it's made, exactly where it's at. And next week, I'll give an update. It hit a big milestone. So check it out, practicalmoney.co. Okay. It's completely free.
That's awesome. Matt is at BP Matt Morgan.
Yes,
and I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. And yeah, we'll see you back here next week on Gigantic Pop. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.